happy Sabbath to all of you. I pray that the Lord has a message here for you today. I believe that this is his word, not mine, and have tried to keep it mostly scriptural to be sure of that. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing each one of us here today. And I pray that each one of us will sense your presence and come near and allow you to touch our hearts and minds today as we look at our rock, Jesus Christ, and as we seek to be there for that great roll call that's coming up. I pray, Father, for your spirit to come and talk to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I could spend the whole time telling you about my week and how little time was spent on this, but I'll spare you. Let's turn to Proverbs 16:25, just as kind of a foundation before we go into our message this morning. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. Text we're all familiar with. There is the way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we talked last time I was here about the two paths. Remember the narrow way, the broad path? It's very important, the decisions that we choose in life. Who is the rock in God's word? And how do we know who it is? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, where it tells us, chapter 10, and starting with verse 1. I'm just going to read to verse 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was who? Christ. It was Jesus. When I think of this rock being Jesus, I think of the two episodes with Moses. When the first is in Exodus 17, let's turn there. There's two. One is in Exodus, one is in Numbers. Exodus chapter 17, and starting with verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto these people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, take with you of the elders of Israel and your rod, where you smote the river. Take it in your hand and go. Behold, I will stand before you there upon the rock in Horeb, and you shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And what did Moses do? He did it. And what happened? Water came out, right? Yes, Moses did so in the sight of the elders. Now, and then he said, is the Lord among us or not? The Lord was telling Moses he was present on the rock and just hit it once and the water would come. Did it? Yes. So if the rock equals Christ, what rock was hit? Who was the rock that was hit? It was Christ that was hit. So Christ is a provider of water, the water of life, right? Right. I want us to turn to Isaiah 44, promise of God, quickly, 1-4. Hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is what? Thirsty. And floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. God has promised, if you drink the water of life and give it to your offspring, what happens? They are blessed also, right? Yes, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as widows, as willows by the water. Have you ever seen a willow tree? Do you know where they plant willows? If you know about willows, by the water, because it takes a lot of water to have a healthy willow tree. Imagine. The second time, Moses, let's look at Numbers now. Numbers chapter 20, where Moses deals with the Lord and the rock and the people. Starting with verse 7, Numbers 20, verse 7. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I take the rod and gather, you take the rod and gather the assembly together, you and Aaron, your brother. And speak you unto the rock. God's not asking him to hit it, is he? He's asking him to speak to the rock this time. And it shall give forth water, and you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock. And Moses took the rod, as God had commanded him, and they gathered the congregation together before the rock. And for one moment of frustration, Moses kind of murmurs. Did you ever do that? Do you ever kind of mumble or murmur, complain under your breath? He says, here now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Was he going to get the water out of the rock? No. He wasn't going. It's impossible for us to get water out of a rock. So Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, after these words, he smote the rock twice. Now he not only didn't speak to the rock, and he not only hit it once, but he hit it twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the people drank, and there beast also. Now, the Lord speaks to Moses and Aaron. What does he say? Why did Moses hit the rock twice? Why? Yeah? Okay. What does the Lord say in verse 12? Yes, because he did not believe God. How did God know he didn't believe? Because he didn't listen. Because he didn't obey God. When we don't obey God's detailed instructions, we don't believe that there'll be any consequences of it. Moses was a leader. So over one moment of frustration, it was over for Moses. His assignment was over. because God couldn't allow a leader to disobey him in front of the congregation who had heard his command and let it just pass as nothing. Well, do we think God was there to Moses? Did he punish him? Did he reprove him? Yes, he did. Was he fair? Yes, very fair. He not only didn't go into the promised land down here, Canaan, he went into the promised land with God. Yes, for some reason the Lord laid him to rest, but he didn't keep him there long. God loved Moses. He talked to him as a friend. Let's look at Psalm 78. The people, the Israelites, we're always sinning and forgetting God. We're Israelites. We're no different than they were. Psalm 78, verse 15. They sinned. Moses was taken from being their leader. And then, verse 15 of Psalm 78. Whoops, wait a minute, I have the wrong. 78. I think I wrote the wrong text down here. But it says they remembered God was their rock. Oh, here it is, I'm sorry. In verse 35, it says, they remembered that God was their rock and the high God was their redeemer. But it goes on to say in verse 36, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth and they lied unto him with their tongues. They smiled at him. They lied to him. Wouldn't you call that deceitful? Yes. Maybe hypocritical. Why? In verse 37, it says, because their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in their covenant. Let's take a moment now and look at what God's call is for us. What is his call to all people, to his people? It's in Joshua 24. It's many places, but I chose this one because it's one of my favorites. Joshua 24, 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was a pretty important decision Joshua made. Have we made that decision? I pray so. I think we have. Years ago, I had a little granddaughter in my home, and she made this plaque, and it stuck a piece of wood behind it, and she wrote this text for me. It's been in my dining room since, all the while they grew up, and still is, because it's a very meaningful text for a home, one we should remember. Choose ye when? Does Joshua say to choose? This day. Don't put it off. We can't put it off. We need to do it today. Matthew 11 is the New Testament invitation. The Lord put in my mind to write down. Matthew 11, 28, another very familiar one. Come unto me, all ye that are what? Laboring, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a promise. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's a pretty good invitation, don't you think? Here's another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. God's call for us. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. To come out. God has died for the world, and he sends this invitation for us to accept what he's done, to come home and be his sons and daughters. That's our calling, our high calling, our invitation to be present at the roll call of God. Paul's message to Timothy, let's look at it as he extends God's call to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. Wow. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, before the world began. Ephesians tells us the same thing too. Ephesians chapter 1, where he says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure, of his will. Wow. Predestined means God predestined all of us to be saved, the world. He died for everyone. The only reason some won't be there is because they chose not to be with him here. And if we don't want to be with Jesus here, he certainly isn't going to make us miserable by taking us to heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Anyway, the text I want says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has predestined everyone to be there, everyone to be present. He calls everyone, but not all are chosen. Who does the choosing? We do. We do the choosing. He already made his choice at the cross. Pardon? 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Thank you, sister. 2 Peter 3, 8, you said? Oh, 2, 8. No. Okay. Yes. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, it is 3:9. Thank you, sister. I need my sister Gladys. She keeps me in mind. Okay, God is a builder, and he's trying to rebuild us. He created us in the beginning, perfect, and he's going to present us before his Father the same way. He is seeking to rebuild us. Let's look at a parable, two houses, for a minute in Matthew. Matthew 7, 24. In verse 23, he's saying that he will profess to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. And then he goes into these two houses. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain came down, and the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains came down, and the winds, floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And what happened? It fell. And great was the fall of it. Two houses, one built on a rock, one built on sand. The one on the rock was wise. The one on sand was foolish. Similar to the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. We have to have more than this. We have to have the Holy Spirit in this. And that's the rock. It's the Holy Spirit that will build the rock in us. Whose house are we? Hebrews 3 talks about that house quickly. 1-6, chapter 3 in Hebrews. Wherefore, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has builded the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. Verse 8 says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. God is building a house to dwell in, us. He's seeking to rebuild us. What is the roll call? The dictionary says this. It's a fixed time or a signal, or with a signal as a bugle, Or could it be a trumpet? For such a reading, with the purpose of seeing who is absent. That's the dictionary. A fixed time to see who is absent. Does God have a roll call? Oh, yes, he does. We sing about it in our hymn book. Psalm 116, we sang it this morning. When the roll is called up yonder. And then the hymn says, I'll be there. Praise God. Praise God, I pray that we will all be there. He has called all. Few will be chosen. Why? Let me share our text with you that. I don't think you'll forget for a while. First time it was shared with me, it stuck. Isaiah 4. Chapter 4. And verse 1. It's talking about that day. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. Seven women. Who do women represent? Church. In that day, seven churches shall take hold of one man. Who's the man? It's Jesus, Christ Jesus, saying, we shall eat our own bread and we will wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by what? Your name, to take away our reproach. What day is that? It's this day. In that day that the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. When God's people's house is built, when his people are prepared to go home, they're going to be unique. They're going to be different. They're going to be separate from the world. We're not to mingle in the world as one of them. We're to mingle with them to bring them out. We're to be recognizably different. These people don't want to wear Christ's robe. They don't want to dress like a Christian. They don't want to eat God's food. They want to do what they want to do, but they want to be called Christian. Interesting, don't you think? It says they're not present with him. He calls out to each of us. He draws all men to the cross to make a choice, to choose to be crucified with him, Galatians 2:20, or to continue on our own. Come, he says. What is our response? The invitation is to be with him eternally, to attend the wedding feast, wearing his wedding garment, not our own. You can't go to this roll call in heaven in your own garments. You have to wear the wedding garment that the King provides. He's calling us to prepare to meet him, to be present at the banquet table when the great roll call of our God is read. God is there to test and prove his loved ones. They need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. We must hold firm and loyal to that dear rock who holds us firm that we be not shaken. How is our house today? Is it on the solid rock or on the shifting sand? We must be on the solid rock to arrive safely home for the most awesome roll call ever heard. I so want to be there, present, Lord. I know you do too. Let us be as Moses in the Old Testament when he met with God, Exodus 33. Moses went out of the tabernacle, and all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. Why was that cloud there? It was God's presence, shielded by a cloud. And stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar, and all the people rose up and worshiped. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. In verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say unto me, bring up this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight." Jesus knew Moses. He loved Moses. He came as close to him as he could get. And Moses replies in verse 13, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people." And God said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses talked to God as a friend. Moses knew God. He wanted God to show him the way, that he might know him, that he might become a son of God, truly adopted. You know, that verb to know is the joining of the man and wife to conceive a son or daughter. God wants to know us. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us that will bring us to be his sons and daughters. Just a couple more texts here and we'll close. Isaiah 2, verse 10. Isaiah 2, verse 10. Enter into the rock. In Exodus 33, if we continue reading there, you will see that God told Moses to stand in the cleft of the rock. Do you remember that? And the Lord said, "Behold, there's a place by me, and you shall stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by." In this experience, God won't have to cover our face with his hand. We'll be able to see him face to face. Enter into the rock and hide you in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He will finish that house. He will build us, rebuild us. Revelation 14:4, the finished product. "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins, not defiled by the false teachings of the other churches. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. When God comes, this will be the presentation of his people, that he has recreated, brought us through the fiery furnace to refine us. Last but not least, for this morning is Psalm 27 and verse 5. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. We shall be a rock. We shall be in the rock because he is the rock. And it's Christ in us who is the hope of our glory. When that roll is called up yonder, I'll be there by his grace. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning. We thank you that your plan is to rebuild, and we're thankful that you can take us from the miry pit and rebuild us to be a home where you can tabernacle with us. Father, thank you. Thank you for your invitation, which each and every one I pray here today has accepted or will accept, and allow you to come in and recreate us, that we may be present at that great roll call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.